like? What influences that are those neighbours going to have on us? What influence are we going to have on those neighbours? Are we meant to be in that place to witness to those neighbours? What about relationships? You know, thinking about marriage maybe. Oh, I'll pick that guy because he's good looking. Let me tell you that good looks don't always last. Or I'll pick that person because they're rich or they're intelligent. No, we need to be in relationship with the people that God wants us to be in relationship, because he sees the bigger picture. Now, Douglas very, very clearly showed us the difference. Yeah, if we can have the next slide. I think I'm just reinforcing what Douglas said, really. It's whirring away. It's going to come eventually. Anyway, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. As Douglas said to us, knowledge is just what we know in our heads. And we get knowledge from reading books, from the internet, we get knowledge from Mr. Google, from all sorts of places. Some of it's more reliable than others. But just because we've got knowledge doesn't mean to say we're going to be wise. As he said, knowing a tomato is a fruit is knowledge, but you don't put it in a fruit salad. Knowing that the sun is the brightest star in our galaxy is knowledge. Wisdom is like your mum told you, never look at it with bare eyes because it will damage your eyesight. And you can know that. Have the knowledge about the star. You can know how bright it is and how far away from it. But knowledge is knowing. You don't look at it with a bare eye. So we definitely, lots of us have got lots of knowledge, but we don't always have the wisdom to apply that knowledge. Now that's just in the world. But, okay, we'll have the next slide because we've done that now. So let's have a look at the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Now, worldly wisdom, as it said in James, is really often, not always, but worldly wisdom is often self-centered. You know, the Holy Trinity, I, myself, and me. That's what sometimes, very often, worldly decisions are made of. Worldly wisdom says, well, is that going to be good for me? Is that going to satisfy me? Is that going to make me happy? In fact, James calls it earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, because Satan fosters thinkings in our heart, wants us to choose just on outward appearances often. And sometimes when our hearts aren't submitted to God, they can be selfish things that our knowledge causes us to make selfish decisions. Godly wisdom, it says, doesn't it, in James. I hope you can see that. It's a bit small, isn't it? I can't read this one from here. So James said, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It's Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-led. If we want to make good decisions in life, we need them to be godly decisions with godly wisdom that are based on this book, being led by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, in order that we make, and we will then make decisions that are peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. They won't be selfish decisions. So what's the value of godly wisdom? Let's move on. Right. Scripture tells us that wisdom is better than gold and rubies. Now, the world would say you're mad. Nothing can be better than gold and rubies. But the Bible says in Proverbs 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? In Proverbs 8, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with it. See, God is really emphasizing godly wisdom is so important if we want to have a fruitful, effective life for God. Proverbs 13 says, wise people think before they act, fools don't. The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. And we know, as Douglas told us, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we see things from, when we get God's wisdom on a situation, we see it from an eternal perspective. Because I don't know about you, but when I've got a problem, if I'm on ground level, all I can see is the problem. You know, it's a bit like, oh, a friend of mine recently climbed Scafell Pike. Is that the highest one in Britain? And she said it was really difficult. But I guess when she was climbing up that mountain, all she could see was the mountain. And when we've got a problem, sometimes we're standing and that's all we can see. Now, if we get godly wisdom, we can see things from God's point of view. And often, and God's point of view is, oh, well, it's not just one mountain. There's a whole range of mountains. There's a whole landscape there. God can see it from, you know, if you've ever been in a plane and looked down and you can see the landscape, that's how God sees it. He can see the whole thing. And he can show you a way through. Well, you see the mountain, no way through. God sees it from an eternal perspective. And he would make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. You see, if we're blessed with finances, godly wisdom shows us how to use that wisely. A foolish person can blow $1 billion in a couple of days. And we've seen people, haven't we, that have won the lottery and, you know, no wisdom and certainly no godly wisdom, and suddenly they're broke. They've spent it all. Godly wisdom says whatever gifts and talents that he has given us, we need his wisdom to use them appropriately and successfully in God's eyes to further the kingdom of God. So, we've looked at what the difference is between knowledge and wisdom, earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. So, how are we going to get this godly wisdom and how are we going to put it into practice? Because, you know, the Bible isn't just given to give us more knowledge. Is given to us to help us to live our lives a godly way. Well, we need to cultivate a lifestyle of wisdom. Often you hear people say, we need to have a lifestyle of worship. Yes, we do. But we need a lifestyle of wisdom as well. If we want to have fewer dead ends, defeats or failures in our lives, we need to think about Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Don't depend on what you think you know. Your right thing, your hunches, your feelings, they can all lead us astray. In everything, seek God's will. This is where the listening comes in, isn't it? You know, it was good for us to have the prayer time this morning. That was brilliant. And thank you for everybody that prayed. And when you prayed in your heart, God hears those prayers. But, you know, it's the old saying, we have got two ears and one mouth. God wants us to listen. Come to him and say, look, God, I've got this situation. Help me to know your way forward. And then wait. Wait to hear what he's got to say. Not rush off if it doesn't happen in the next 5 minutes. I need to depend on God's wisdom, not what my friends say, not my feelings, not my gut instinct often. But trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. He will give us his wisdom. He will show us which path to take. It says that, doesn't it? It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We've had situations, haven't we, Pete, when in life where, you know, we've sort of been at not so much a crossroads, but maybe like a Y shape. Shall we go that way or shall we go that way? And sometimes it isn't always what you expect. When I was preparing this, I was thinking about our house. We live on Fairfield Park, which is just between Letchworth and Stockfold. And we felt some 12, 13 years ago now, that God was calling us from King's Baptist Church to plant a church on Fairfield Park, because it was a new development. And we felt, well, I felt, that God was saying, if you're going to minister there, you need to live there. So I said to Pete, I said, oh, we're going to go and live, let's go and live on Fairfield Park. And Pete said, no. Now, he's the head of the household, so we weren't moving at that point. And then a year later, God, I don't know what happened, but Pete said, I think we'll go and look at some houses on Fairfield Park. So we go up to Fairfield and have a look at some houses. And eventually, God miraculously provides us with this house. It was exactly what we wanted. And we managed to sell our house in Stockfold where we lived. Now, the strange thing was, the house on Fairfield, which was smaller than the one we had in Stockfold, cost more money for a smaller house. We were supposed to be downsizing. Now, in the world, that would not make any sense at all. Why would you spend more money getting a smaller house? And it was difficult for Pete to get his head around because he's an accountant. So it made even less sense. But that was godly wisdom. And it proved to be the right house and the right timing and for us to move there, to be in the community, to help plant a church. So it isn't always what it seems on the outside. God wants us to make smart decisions. And as it said in James, if we want wisdom, what have we got to do? Ask. It says in James, you know, all we have to do is ask God for wisdom, and he will give sparingly and grudgingly. Is that what it said? No, it said he would give generously. He would give generously. And graciously. So he's not going, oh, Tom, you've come again and you've asked me for wisdom again. He'll go, great. Tom's asked me for wisdom again. Brilliant. And I'm going to pour it out on him because he's asked. So Francis Chan, who's an American pastor, said this, give me wisdom to navigate through this life in a way that honours you. And I guess that's what we all want to do. But sometimes, and I'm guilty of this probably more than anybody else, rushing into a situation because it's what I think is the right thing to do. I'm passionate, but I'm quite impulsive. But I think we all need godly wisdom. So I hope that that has spoken to you today. If you want to go and read more about wisdom, go to 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon, king of Israel. God said, you can have anything you want, Solomon. Riches, huge kingdom. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. And God was so pleased that he gave him all the other things as well. And as I was preparing this, I just felt a couple of things that might resonate with people here. I wondered if there was, I just felt God said there might be someone here who's, you've got two choices about, it might be a job, it might be moving, it might be, I don't know, there's two choices. I felt it was a job, but it might be something else. And you are seesawing. Shall I go that way, God? Or shall I go that way? Shall I go that way? Shall I go that way? And you're just seesawing about it, but you haven't really sat down and asked God and waited for his wisdom. Now, I don't know if that speaks to anybody. And the other picture I had was somebody who was like stood there and they're, I don't know, it's like they were wound up with like wool was tied all around, so they were standing like this because this was, and I felt what God was saying was that there's somebody here who, in a relationship that they're tied in knots about, either because you've had some sort of conflict or you don't know what to do about a relationship. But God's saying, yeah, he wants to give you his wisdom as to the way forward with that relationship. If anybody, those two words are spoken to anybody, I'd be happy to pray with you, or Phil or Jenny or Graham, leaders of the church. So I'm just going to pray. So should we just close our eyes? God, thank you for the wisdom that you offer us. Thank you for the many benefits of godly wisdom in each of our lives. I pray, Father God, that in any and every situation, you will help us to come to you and ask for your wisdom in the decisions that we make, and not rely on our own understanding or our own wisdom. And be prepared to wait to hear which path you want us to take. And I just ask this in Jesus' name.